Blog Talk Radio.
Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate. And listen to this crowd. Crowd is cheering Henry Aaron, the home run king of all time.
Do you know where you were at that moment?
When
welcome back,
happen?
My friends. Yeah. You know, do you know where you were? I think I do.
When did it, I'm not sure. When did it happen? I don't remember.
Oh, geez. What year? Oh, good God, darn question. let me see. Since we don't have Deb here to do all that work in the background.
Yeah, I'm going to.
There's a 7:15. Boom! Tell you right here. Hank Aaron hit the 7-15th home run on April 7th, 2023. No, that's when the article came up. Let's see. Just read off the top of my head. There you go. Come on. Okay, this day in sports history. Hank Aaron hits a 7-15 to break Babe Ruth record, and that was... 23-year career came to April 8th, 1974. I was going to guess 75, but that was 74. April 8th, 1974, 46 years ago, something like that, 49 years ago.
Yeah, I don't know where
I
was. Man,
that's depressing. Yeah. 73 season, Aaron had 7-13. Okay, so wasted no time, started 74, yeah, right out of spring training. Well, I should introduce what we're doing here. this is the man cave. You've tuned into ATOV Radio, a team of voices. We are a writing group tonight. Usually might share our poetry, but tonight on the last Friday of every month, Steven 76 and myself get together and we chat about anything we want. We can chat about poetry, but we take a break from reading it. Unless there's a special occasion, we will read it. If somebody calls in, we'll surely read it. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the evening. Steven 76 is with me. Hi, Steven, from across the country.
Hello.
So tonight, I am very nervous. What I'm doing, I have the greatest opportunity to fly to Australia to meet up with AP Taylor and hang with him for 3 weeks, and never traveled like that before. So I get a little antsy. A hell of a lot to do to get ready just to jump on a plane and head down. It really is. Plus the forces that have been at work to trying to prevent me from getting down there, and I'm including the pandemic, because the last time we tried this was the week that the pandemic hit. We were looking for a window to fly me down, and thank God I wasn't already down there, or I'd have been living on some, you know, like that dude that spent 18 years in the airport. The people that were stuck in the middle of travel, depending on where they were, if they weren't the citizens of that country, they were put up in a hotel somewhere and not forgotten about, but had very little options of doing anything, is my understanding. So I was lucky I wasn't already down there. Australia was one of the first ones to shut down everything. And so besides that, I've had 5 operations, each one thinking that it's going to prevent me from getting down there. So I'm not allowed to do anything. I can't walk across, no steps, don't slip in the shower, anything like that. I think my roommate's trying to get rid of me. But, yeah, I'd fly down on a 777. That's a big plane. I've never been on that big of a plane. So, and I know all the people out there that have done it, what's he complaining about? It's nothing. Well, the first time you got one, it probably was not that easy either. So I'm excited anxious. Yeah. This is the furthest I've ever even thought about traveling or having the opportunity. And I can't not pass this up. I would never forgive myself if I had an opportunity and then didn't do it. So I will be in a couple of weeks, by two days, sometime next week, I will be in the gold fields of Melbourne in Victoria, Australia, where the biggest nugget was found. Be fun.
Yeah.
I'll be there at the right time. Yeah, I'll be there at the right time. They don't have the cold from the winter or the heat of the summer. They're going into their fall, so should be good. So no weather problems, I don't think. And we're going to – I looked up an article on weird things about Australia. Besides, everything there wants to kill you or has the ability to kill you. Even the trees can mess you up. So can't just go wandering off from the top.
Hit that button. Hit that button that I brought with me.
Okay, I will. I got it. Go back. Don't. I was looking. Okay, here we go. Right. There it is. Come on. There you go. Push the button.
I've never made any secret of the fact that basically I'm on my way to Australia. And I...
What?
I've never made any secret of the fact that basically I'm on my way to Australia. And I...
Okay. Who is that? Who is that? Let me go check it out one more time.
I've never made any secret of the fact that basically I'm on my way to Australia. And I
know who that is.
I've never made any secret of the fact that basically I'm on my way to Australia. And
I know that voice. Who is it?
It's James Garner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, it is. Is that the Love Your Local Sheriff or something?
Yeah, Support Your Local Sheriff.
Who's the local sheriff? Yeah. I just had to say that. I'll tell you. You know, and I will be the one with the accent. Go figure that.
Yeah.
So there's certain things you don't want to say in certain countries. I think top one is you don't want to say put some shrimp on the Barbie. They don't say that. Careful what you say about the crocodile hunter, I guess. And I think AP Taylor has educated us enough to where I won't break any social rules or laws.
Yeah. What about Paul Hogan?
The Hulk. What about him?
No, Paul Hogan, the guy who was Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee. That's right, Paul Hogan. That was Terry Hogan. But that is a knife. This is a knife.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do they call it, Mac? They call it Mac or what do they call him on that show? They called him
Mick.
Is it Mac? Mick.
Mick Dundee.
Mick, yeah. Mick Dundee. So maybe I have my own persona of California kid. So I was deciding whether I think I was going to, I'm planning on cutting my hair because it's down to the middle of my back. And the old recluse, grouchy dude I am. Yeah, maybe I'll have a cut down there. Who knows? Representing, because everybody knows in California we all have part-time jobs because when the surf comes in, we all freaking have to hit the waves, hang out on the beach with the movie stars, and weed grows wild on the side of the road. Who am I speaking with?
Well, depends on what you remember me by.
Okay, keep talking. I don't know who it is.
Whiz Kid?
Keep talking.
I've been known to be called Whiz Kid, Black Destruction, Romeo, or Bleeding Romeo to be exact.
Okay.
Yeah.
How you doing, man? How you doing?
Doing okay, man. Been on a bit of a hiatus, a big life change. But feeling the need to sharpen my pen, get a little bit of ink from my blood, and decided to come back home.
All right, cool. Well, you're always welcome. Tonight is the Man Cave. Myself, Jay Hatter, and Steven 76. So we hang together and chat for about anything we want. We sort of take a break from the poetry on the last Friday of every month. You're welcome to hang out with us if you want. So we're talking about Australia and how far we've been and we've traveled in our lives. Between Steven and I, not very far.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that's probably one of my, like, places that I've always said I'd like to go visit someday. I mean, I was listening, and maybe I'm just, most of us are, you know, I wouldn't say that we're ignorant to the fact so much as we just, like, try to overlook the fact that everything there is trying to kill you. but apparently that doesn't matter. It's a great destination for vacation. Let's all go, you know. But, Hatter, I've been thinking on this and always went back to this other note, and I have to tell you, man, I found out how – I've come to my own decision of how a raven is like a riding death.
Oh, you have the answer to that, huh?
I think so, man. You want to hear it?
Yeah, a raven to a riding desk. Sure. Tell us.
Okay. All right. So a riding desk, if you make it a persona, the desk being capable of writing, what would it write? Considering that it has seen a lot of things, it would probably write a message of profound message, something of a great or importance of a statement. So then what does that have to do with a raven? Well, a raven is this, is quite often depicted as being the one who is the harbinger, messenger of either life or death, both of which are profound subject matters.
Right.
And putting the two together, on a writing desk, Thomas Jefferson, just to pick a person, wrote the Declaration of Independence, which sparked the American Revolution, in which many, many men died. And so...
So you're saying any writing desk to ravens, being not just one, So you're saying what they see, what has been written upon them, could be considered a harbinger of something, right? That what you're saying?
Yes, both can deliver a message. Both can be a source from which a message can be delivered.
Okay. There's been a number of people that have tried to figure that out. In fact, Lewis Carroll was so bugged about that before that he did have his own answer, which is sort of really cryptic in itself. Something about the tail end of one and the so I'll have to look that up, what Lewis Carroll said, because he just said it because he didn't think there was an answer to it. But people in the popularity of this, the book, Alice in Wonderland or Alice Through the Looking Glass, he figured he'd better answer it. So his is, I think there's one better. So he came up with one better, but it's still an unanswered question that the Hatter asks Alice. Yeah. Let me see. Oh, one more. Is that?
Yes.
It is. It is. Hey man, what's going on?
Not much, man.
This is Racketeur.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for calling in. Talking about Australia and everything down there that could hurt you, kill you. You know, it's funny. I talk to everybody else, and they don't want to come to California because of the earthquakes. You know, and slide down and off into the ocean. I can dig that, sure. But they live in Tornado Alley. They live with hurricanes, ice storms, tornadoes. California's a good place. You go to Northern California. I've in my lifetime, I have felt two little tremors, basically only because I saw the chandelier start swinging or the water in the pool start chopping. That was the weird one. Look out the kitchen, I just saw the chop.
I felt the earth move a couple of times in my lifetime too, but it wasn't an earthquake.
Yeah, but in Australia it is true. Everything you got to be careful of the outback because everything can hurt you. They got pine cones that are like 20 to 40 pounds. That if you stand under that tree,
I want pine nuts from that tree, man. That sounds awesome.
We had a guy bring one up to me, and I got to dig into it. You dig into it and pull the seeds out. You can cook them like pumpkin seed. Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite nuts. Actually, I didn't realize they literally came from a pine cone. I put them in my stuffing around Thanksgiving. I love pine nuts.
Speaking of the ground moving, I thought the ground was moving once too, but I'm pretty sure that was an after effect of shrooms. I legit though have never felt the ground shaking from an earthquake, so I guess it's a foreign concept to me. Just other than movies and TVs and people just describing it, I couldn't imagine feeling the ground that you're walking on violently shaking.
Sure. Yeah, you can see the people panic, like the cameras when Japan gets hit. When you're at the epicenter, that's a whole different thing. I think the closest epicenter of any earthquake that had any value to it, I was about 100 miles away. And I would... Only because the one time I was working as a dispatch, a 911 dispatcher, walked out as graveyard. I walked out, looked up at the 250-foot tower, and I swear to God, I thought I saw it sway. But then I figured, the head rush from standing up too quick or something. But then they came in and they said, no, we just had an earthquake. The other one, I've seen the chandelier in the back in our house. The chandelier starts swinging, and I look out the kitchen window, and the pool is like a chop. If you know what the potato patch under the Golden Gate Bridge, it's the tides in and out that clash. It's the narrowest part in the San Francisco Bay, and it's very violent. It's very swift. You do not want to be caught in that. But the chop goes straight up and down. They call it the potato patch. And other than that, I've never really felt anything in my life.
Right.
I don't feel anything. But
I can say this. You don't. The one thing that's in Mississippi arguably could be bigger elsewhere, but I swear once I saw a mosquito big enough to try to challenge a dog to a boxing match. That's the one thing you got to worry about in Mississippi is mosquitoes, and they come in droves. And if you got that sweet blood, it's over with. You better go inside.
Mosquitoes have beaks, huh?
Like killer bees, yeah. Okay, yeah. When I was a kid, I had allergies. It's one of my brothers. I had six brothers, and we'd go up to the farm up in the valley, and at dusk, the mosquitoes would come out when we were going out. We'd go frog gigging or anything. Mosquitoes were so bad. My little brothers got eaten up terribly. I'd always get a nosebleed. I wouldn't get bitten as much, but I know how it's like to get fed on, feasted upon by insects.
No.
Yeah, so there's something about country mosquitoes. They're a little bit bigger.
It's not Australia, but I think it's in New Zealand. There's a cave of where at night they have these glowworms, and they're the larva of, I think, a type of mosquito, but they're beautiful, and they spin threads kind of like spiders to catch whatever it is they're going to eat. People go there just to look at the glowworms, the patterns. It's someplace in New Zealand. I don't remember the name of the cave, but they're like, you know, they dot the roofs of the caves because they don't have bats out in out there. So they're free to, you know, do their thing and catch, you know, whatever it is they catch. And I think they're the larva of a type of mosquito. But they're quite beautiful.
Yeah, they say that if it wasn't for the bats, we would be run over by mosquitoes. Very, very quickly. Yeah, they eat their own weight. I think their own body weight, or half their body weight, every night. And, you know, that's of mosquitoes.
That's not surprising.
That's a lot of mosquitoes, by the way.
So who has fireflies or where they live?
They float around here a little bit, but it's usually about like mid to late summer over this way when they decide to show up.
We got them out here in Jersey.
Yeah, we got them here in Cleveland.
Now, I have never seen a firefly. I've lived in the Sacramento Valley. I've been to the Sierras. I've been up and down California. And I looked at the habitat of the firefly, and you know where they don't go?
Where's that?
Central California, yeah, the valley. So I've never seen them.
They're too good for the valley.
Yeah. Sacramento Valley is very strange. It's like the second hardest place to predict the weather in the nation. And being that we have the Diablo Mountain Range and the Sierras that we sit in between, when the, for example, with the Hawaiian pineapple, what they call the Pineapple Express, El Nino, too. That's more down south is affected, but. We can have turbulent. All the weather comes from the south and west. Never from the. Well, no, I can't say never. Rarely do they come from the north or the east. The north would be an Arctic blast where it's freezing cold. You can count on one hand how many times that might happen in a year. But how it sits in the Sacramento Valley, we are subject to the pressure changes big time. Because of the two mountain ranges, and it's Redding, California is about a good 100 miles north of Sacramento, it gets the extremes. It will get snow and freezing cold, and it also will get 115, 120. It could sometimes be the hottest place in California. So that's the upper valley. So, Sacramento is rarely gets any weather that's – we had really that's unmanageable. We did have a supercell come over us in 2005, I think it was. It was a supercell. It was a tornado that never went vertical. We run over the top of it. It hailed a foot of hail on top of us in about 2 hours. It was
great.
It's just like the weather in Tornado Valley. You know, Tornado Valley on one side of the tornado or those storm fronts, they can get the hail. They know what side to be on when they're chasing. You don't want to be on one side. The hail side's not a good place to be because it will destroy your car, you know.
Well, in Mississippi, we got some really, really crazy weather too, man. I shit you not. Sorry for the language. I hope that's not a problem. But anyway. So what I'm getting at is, I'm not kidding you. One day, it was like scorching hot, like in the low 90s, and it got down to like 67 throughout the night, then all of a sudden in the morning it's like 38 degrees, and I went from having to wear shorts and a t-shirt one day, the next day to bundle up, and before that day was out, it started to rain after hitting back to the 60s. And so it happens all the time here. We say a lot of times that when you watch the Weather Channel, like, what's the weather going to be today? Yes.
Yeah. Well, you guys get that green skies. You get those big thunder clouds and the supercells. It's the Canadian cold from the Rockies and the warm weather from the Gulf, isn't it? Interchange.
Yes, cutting down the Midwest and cycling under the Appalachians and then the warm front pushing up from the Gulf, yeah.
I was surprised that there's tornadoes in Chicago and the Great Lakes. I didn't know they usually traveled up that far, but yeah, they do. Huh? Is that have you been near one, Stephen? I mean, you're in Ohio.
We had one, actually. Oh, boy. It was probably about – the last one I remember was about 12 years ago, and I was an idiot because, I mean, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and our son was asleep, and Kay and I were up, and all of a sudden the tornado alarm started going off, and you know what I did? I went outside to see where it was.
like any red-blooded American guy would do. Yeah. Got to see.
Have a beer in one hand. Have a beer in one hand, the American flag in another one, and yelling out to the sky, "I ain't scared no nader."
You gotta see it. Come here, I gotta see this. I think it's coming out.
You call that close?
I think we better go inside. This is devastating to see what they can do to a farm or a house. I mean, my Lord. Hey, what's with the magnetic pull it has on trailer parks?
It does seem like it's attracted to those.
Yeah.
Well, see,
yeah.
Here's the thing is we just got hit by one really, really, really bad supercell storm here in Mississippi. It completely destroyed one town. Like, there's literally no – there was only one building left standing that could be habitable, and it was ground zero where they had FEMA and all kinds of stuff. And that was the last week of March. So just a month ago, and then also another town that wasn't but like an hour drive from me that got completely demolished. Not as bad, but just trees. It's pretty much like you pointing fingers like you get a tree, he gets a tree, she gets a tree, and grandma over there is going to get a tree too, but it's going to go in her living room. And I mean, it sounds funny, but it's legit. I've never seen anything like it. I saw a double-wide trailer completely upside down.
Yeah, what's the scary thing is when you see stalks of straw impaled into telephone poles.
Oh, yeah, the wind picks up the straw and blows it hard enough to do that. Yeah, that's insane. That's really
like
crazy
straw,
stuff like that.
Just like a straw into a potato, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, enough velocity. Yeah, that's the scary part. My cousin grew up in Reno, Nevada, and he joined the Air Force. He became a dentist, and he moved back to Oklahoma. He told the story when he came back, that he's just tooling down the highway with a stereo, and he's going back to the base, and all the cars coming at him are blinking their lights and
trying to warn him away. Finally,
he thought, well, something's wrong with my car. Maybe I ought to pull over. He pulls over. There's a tornado behind him trying to cross the highway. He had gone either before it or he was approaching it or it was approaching him, one or the other. He goes, but it taught me not to turn the stereo up. You gotta, because the sirens were blowing up, were going off. He just didn't hear them. You know what they were. Yeah, from Reno, Jesus. The last thing you think is tornadoes. What would you do? They say, don't stay in your car, get out and get in the ditch. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
How vulnerable do you want me to feel? I mean,
there's straw out there.
Yeah. Well, they say, don't get under the underpass. They've got that one video of that family that got in the underpass and basically saved because they walked right over that, their car and the overpass they're in. But they said that can increase the velocity of the wind being under with one of those. It could really, you don't want to do that.
It's a depressurization is what it is. It like depressurizes the air underneath it.
Yeah.
And there's actually been people recording like being it happening and gasping for air because it depressurized it so much. It's like being thrown up a couple thousands of foot into elevation all of a sudden. But think of it like a straw. You know, you depressurize the air in the straw, and suddenly the drink that was in it is now in your mouth. It's the same thing is happening. It's creating a depressurization and speeding the air up.
Yeah, that's the same thing what a wildland fire will do when it's walking over, when it's out on the top of the trees and they're walking over. It sucks all the oxygen up into it.
Yeah.
And I told you could get, but with a tornado too, pay attention to your ears, I guess. If it starts popping, you want to take a look around. Because of the pressure changes, you know. But since we're getting back onto, I pulled up an article. Oh, where are you? Come on.
Is it an article of clothing?
Yeah, I'll tell you that. The weird and interesting facts about Australia. Romeo, I'm heading to Australia Sunday night. I don't know if you caught that at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I heard that.
Where is it? Of course, I have to look it up again. There it is. This would be a big adventure for me. I've been to New York one time. In fact, when I went to New York, we stayed in this a musician's it was Mark and Matt, two brothers. They invited Claire from London and myself, who were meeting in New York. We had been friends on the internet for 13 years. We decided if we were going to finally meet, we had tried before, but we decided if we were going to do it, let's get serious. So she got tickets to fly from London to New York. I got from California to New York. We met at JFK, the craziest place on earth.
Oh, my God. My stomping ground.
And then we flew to Rochester, which is right there at the southern tip of Lake Ontario. And Mark had mentioned that the weather is really good. This is a good time for you guys to show up and everything. But while we were there for 2.5 weeks. While we were there, we got to witness the change of weather. It felt like high 70s. It was nice, you know. And it turned ugly. In 15 minutes, it was snowing. Oh, man, that is a quite the change in weather happened. But we were there at the mansion. It was a great time. These guys Mark was one of the top fiddle players, violin players in the country. He, as a kid, was in. He drove to Denver from Rochester, New York, because that's where the musicians hung out for some reason back in the '60s. It was the closest to San Francisco back in the day when all the hippies wanted to go in San Francisco. He said that a lot of musicians hung out in Denver, so that's where he was. He was an outstanding musician. And while we were there, he would get he was also a teacher. He had his students come over 2-3 times while I was there. They'd bring his whole front room. They got about 7 different instruments, and all these people played. It was freaking great.
So you saw his pupils.
Saw his people, yeah.
His pupils.
Yeah. Yeah. He would pick up the bass and banged on it a little bit, but they played a little different. Claire, my sweetheart, the lovely lady, she was as English, proper English as you could be. And she was raised in classical music. I knew more about the Beatles than she did, by far. She didn't.
That's fun.
And while we're there, she's writing a 73-page aria, and all instruments, symphonic, the symphony, orchestra, and everything. She's writing it on her programming on her laptop. So that's just where she was very well known. She performed for royalty. I saw a picture of her with Jeff Lynne and Klaus Voormann. I think Klaus Voormann. These are famous musicians. Jeff Lynne was from Electric Light Orchestra, personal friends of George Harrison and the Beatles. She's standing there in front of a Jaguar, in front of a gate to the castle that she lived in, the castle.
Of course.
They were all in Renaissance garb. And I look at one, I go, that looks like Jeff Lynne. He goes, well, it sort of is. It is Jeff. she was sort of sweet. I was told once before I'd been talking to her for years, and then I had a mutual friend from England. She pulled me sort of aside, and she goes, do you know who this lady, I don't want to tell what name she uses on the internet. She doesn't use her own. She goes, do you know who that is? And I said, well, yeah, it's, you know, I think I do. And she goes, no, I don't think you do. She's sort of famous. She's sort of famous in a high, let's put it this way. There are class distinctions in England that is, I guess it's accepted. The pretty rich people that play music at the Royal Albert Hall, which she's played at least a dozen times or half a dozen times, maybe, those people, in fact, she told me that if I followed her back to London, which we were planning, that I could maybe fly back and see London. She said, you can't hang with me. You can't be my boyfriend. I said, okay, I can dig that. I understand. Well, we didn't meet to do that. We met to see if there was a fire there, but there wasn't. I'm a California cowboy, hippie, surfer dude. I mean, that's all I know. She's from a whole different spectrum of society. We had a great time. I entertained her as much as she entertained me just by talking to her, I guess. But she said, the girls in London and England will love you, but the guys are going to have a big problem with you. So, okay. Just the way, for example, in an elevator, I would strike up a conversation with somebody. We had a shuttle from JFK into Manhattan, which is a longer drive than you'd think. And people behind us were speaking a foreign language, but I sort of recognized it. And so I turned around and I go, it kann Berlin sprechen. And she, and they started talking English. And she answered me back in Belgium, because that's what she's talking. She's talking Austrian, which is very, very similar to Belgium. And she started rattling something back, and I go, that's all I know, that my grandma taught me that, you know. And I look over, we're having this conversation with this couple we don't know behind us. I look over Claire. She's cowering in the corner like this is just weird to her. You don't do that. You don't invade people's space. I go, yeah, that was the biggest cultural difference. I would come. I could start a conversation with anybody. You know, make, ease the tension. And yeah, you don't do that. I told her once, don't get your knickers in a bunch. And she, you can't
oh,
say
don't,
that to a
you
lady.
Don't say that.
You can't say that to a lady. I go, what? Get your knickers in a bunch.
Talking about
okay.
her knickers. You're talking about her knickers.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway,
I'm from New York. We got knickerbockers.
Well, that's I told her. I said I don't know how to explain that. You know how to get how to tell this to you, but yeah, we have a sports team called the Knickerbockers. She just looked at me funny, shook her head. All right. And I remember asking her what other things. Would I say terminology that means totally something different in England? She goes, well, she was trying to think of something. I said, well, what if I said I'm pissed off? What would you say? She goes, well, that means you're drunk on the side of the road. Something like that.
You made her totally knackered.
There are a lot of things you do not want to say, be careful to say, and I'm trying to learn which ones not to say in Australia. The only one I know is don't say put shrimp on the Barbie. They don't say that. They don't like that. But weird
apparently.
And interesting fact about Australia. Australia is one of the strangest and most unique destinations on the planet. Fact, from bizarre Aussie laws that some say still exist to this day, to downright weird wildlife, Australia is definitely one of a kind. Some of these Australian facts you may have heard before, but I bet there'll be a few surprises. So here are some weird, interesting facts. Number one, Australia has the world's longest golf course, measuring more than 850 miles long. What?
Is that like a par 20?
Yeah, the bogey. Let's see. Australia is home to 21 of the world's 25 most venomous snakes.
Yeah.
21. Okay, there you go. I asked AP when we're out in the outback, what's the law? And he said, just look for movement. Just watch for movement. Then I learned the brown snakes like to sit still. So I don't know. I'll be wrapped in bubble wrap the whole time we're there. Let's see. Perth is the only city in the world which can have aircraft land in its CBD. In its CBD. What's CBD?
I don't know.
The aircraft land in its CBD. I don't know what that is. Okay, I'll go on. The wine cast, a goon, was invented in Australia. Australia is even bigger than you think it is. It's almost the size of mainland USA, the continental. It's that they show a picture. It does. It covers from the coast to coast, about the same area.
Wow.
And the largest cattle station in the world is located in Australia, and it's bigger than Israel. I think that's in Queensland. I think it's in Queensland. Which is the northern part. I know they have Komodo dragons.
Yeah.
In the north in Queensland. I thought Queensland was a cool place to be. No, Queensland is very hostile, man. Australia is ranked second on the Human Development Index, which takes into account a long and healthy life, knowledge, and the standard of living. So what does that mean? Second to Human Development Index. I think somebody had too much time on their hands. Let's see. Four out of five Aussies live less than 50 kilometers from the coastline because it's called the Outback. There's basically, I think there's one station between in the middle by Ayers Rock or something from the East Coast to the West Coast. There's one station that that's where you get gas, and you will get gas there because you're going to need it by Ayers Rock. Maybe it's beyond that. Ayers Rock is that biggest rock in the planet. Looks like a plateau. Yep. Yeah. And I did learn one thing. The owner of that station in the middle of nowhere, he's the only guy in the country that has the license to keep a dingo.
Well, no.
Yeah, he's got a pet dingo, and he's the only one that is allowed to have one, I guess. I don't know if that's still true, but that was a fact that I looked up a couple of years ago. Each week, there are an estimate 70 tourists that overstay their visas. A visa non-business, I guess, is 90 days, 3 months. But then you've got to leave for a day and come back.
Makes sense.
Former Prime Minister Bob Hawke, I saw this guy. They just had he just died 2 years ago, I think. AP had we had a special on Bob Hawke. This is a guy that all this woke, all this movement of wanting to change the constitutions of your country by, let's just say, and I'm not saying this is one, but you know, let's say gay marriage. They want to change the wording of it, or they want to expand into things that maybe the total population don't want to. So he was one that that drank beer. Could beat anybody chugging beer. This is the guy. This is the head guy in Australia, Bob Hawke.
Mm-hmm.
I said he set a world record for sculling 2.5 pints of beer in 11 seconds. Hawke later suggested that this was the reason for his great political success. I didn't read that before, but I just learned off his name. But yeah, sculling, so just slamming 2.5 pints of beer in 11 seconds. And there's video of him doing it. He's sort of an icon of Australia. He's brought Australia back to where they wanted to be as far as the constitution, the sovereignty, this whole bit, according to AP Taylor. The first police force in Australia was made up of the most well-behaved convicts.
Because
Australia was a debtor's prison from England. They'd ship you down if you're in prison, along some of the nastier people. So if you're a well-behaved convict, you are the law. And I guess there was no walls in any prison, because where are you going to go? You'll die
right,
and come back.
It's an island.
Yeah.
They had her.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Wanted to let you know that CBD stands for Central Business District.
Okay. Really? Okay. So now that we know what that is, let me reread the CBD. Where is it?
In the States, you know, the 4-lane highways are that wide in case you have to actually land the plane or something stupid like that.
Right.
On, you know, that's why they're so, as wide as they are.
Right. Perth. That's the capital, isn't it, Perth? I think it's Perth.
Capital of Australia, I think so.
Yeah. Let's see. And it is one of the only, it is one place, I don't think it's the only, but that highway is so straight, they can pull big rigs with up to 10 trailers.
Wow.
The most they allow in California is 2. Washington, I think they allow 3.
Yeah.
Washington State. I don't know, but you can hook up 10 trailers to a tractor and pull it across that highway. I guess you can't back up, but
yeah.
It's about it that straight, I guess. There's pictures of that too that show the caravan. It looks like a train.
Yeah. Sounds like a train.
It would take around 29 years to visit one new Aussie beach every day. There are 10,685 beaches. 29 years to visit one every day. Wow. Bucket list. Yeah, I don't think there's on the West Coast. I don't think it's not very familiar. It's like in Queensland that they got the Komodo dragons, because just above that is New Guinea and Papua and all those islands. I was had heard they have Komodo dragons. Come on, man. That means no sleeping on the beach, no staying on the beach, don't even walk on the beach. The Great Barrier Reef is the planet's largest living structure.
Yep. Yeah.
I heard it was under great stress.
Great stress.
Okay.
It's eroding. You know, at points, it's kind of, you know, in danger.
I think it's losing its color too.
Yeah,
the color is. I believe.
I think, is that the starfish? They've got the starfish problem that are coming in. They eat the coral, the barrier reef. I don't know. Good luck to them. I get to see that flying in, though. It'll be daytime when I get down there. The Great Barrier Reef even has its own post office box.
Wow.
Really? Dear Reef. Heard about you.
Dear Sea Turtle.
Yeah, my roommate said, well, you're going to go, you're not going swimming, are you? What? You're not going in the ocean, are you? Well, hell no. Who do you think I am?
Surfer dude.
No, it's like the stonefish. You got sea snakes. You got great white shark. You got, yeah. Just because you're not on land don't mean the shit in them will hurt you too. Australia's capital city, Canberra, okay, meant woman's cleavage in Aborigine, and was named Aborigine, I guess, and was named that because the city is cradled between two mountains.
Down in the valley. Oh. I was just going to say that. That's
Canberra.
Funny.
Hey, babe, nice Canberra. Interesting. In Canberra, here we go. In Canberra, it's legal to film hardcore porn, and selling the end product has been made legal in the city. The person being a politician must get boring.
The porn capital of Australia, apparently. Okay.
Yeah, I guess. Wow.
Talk about going down under.
Yeah, where you been? Never mind.
Canberra.
The AFL, the Australian Rules Football, was invented to keep cricketers fit in the off-season. There are claims that the game may have been influenced by Indigenous Australians. Okay. It all starts with, I can grab this. Me and my buddies can get this ball across that line before you can get the ball on this side. That's how it all starts. Sort of a king of the hill.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know why the Olympics were formed back in the ages of kings and territory kingdoms and invaders and all this. They noticed that they were losing too many men to fight each other all the time. And it was always about land or beachfront, oceanfront property or something. It was always about that. So the kingdoms decided to have sports who could the best athletes. And whoever won could claim that for either a year or 2 years or whatever they agreed to. And now it would be a four-year period that if you're – marathon runner won, you would win that piece of land for that long. It was because the wars were costing too many men. It cost the kingdoms all their guys, right?
So Scotland comes up with the caber toss.
Yeah.
I could throw a telephone pole further than you.
Yeah, that's an interesting sport.
It's just watching them lumber up to the line with that thing is like, holy crap.
Or the one where they jump the canal, they hit the pole and run, and they climb up that pole before it starts falling over the other side to get to the other side. You see that one?
That's crazy.
It is. Yeah. And then there are stones. They get the, they got to lift the stones onto tables. Each one's bigger than the other.
Like a deadlift when they pick them up and they hug them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no grip.
Those are the most powerful guys in the world, by far. And their life expectancy isn't that long, poor guys. The world's largest rock is not actually Uluru, but Mount Augustus in Western Australia. So I'm wondering if there's rock is Uluru. Mount Augustus is actually twice the size of Uluru. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Uluru. The fossils in the caves in Australia are the oldest in the world. It's the last part of Pangaea that exists. That's what the landmass was called when all the continents were one. I'm hoping to see some of that, although that's probably pretty far from where I'm going to be. I think it's mostly in Western Australia. I'll be in south east in Victoria, Goldfields. Thank you very much. There are 60 wine regions in Australia. Wow.
And I bet you hit every one of them.
I will find every damn one of them in 3 weeks. Yes, I will. Around 1.3 billion liters of wine are produced each year in Australia. I did not know that. I did know that when Napa Valley got going, there used to be French wine and was the most expensive wine in the world until Napa Valley came full-fledged and took over, pissing the French off. I'm about an hour's drive from Napa Valley. The wine around here is excellent and very cheap. What I've heard is that you could take a 12-bottle of wine here and it'll cost you $200 overseas, if not the East Coast. They're really strict on transporting labels of wine over state lines for that reason. I think Napa Valley wine is very sought, very expensive on the East Coast too, I was told. I don't know that for a fact. But, wine in California is all day long. Good wine, too. Australia is the sixth largest country in the world. Sixth. Wow. Australia ranks 56th in the world in terms of broadband speed. Really? We're seventh. For mobile speed, though. Wow, 56. AP complains all the time. He goes, my signal's down here. Although he comes in clear all the time. The speed of him retrieving stuff, I guess, is not that great. That just means they don't have a satellite, right? They get your own satellite. Only 40,000 of them. They're tucked to Elon Musk. He'll get you one. AP told me this fact also, there are 1 million camels that roam wild Australia's deserts, the largest number of purebred camels in the world. There's more camels in Australia than anywhere else.
Really?
That's the
What was the easiest way to get through the outback? You know, just bring them over from Africa, Sahara Desert, you know? And Australia exports its camels to the Middle East. Take it over to camel. That's a lot of camel toe. Stay in school.
I need kangaroo.
The wombat deposits square poo. I heard of this.
The wombat.
Poops square poo. Square poo. Square.
Already.
How do you do that? That's a pucker factor there.
That's some
That's
skill.
I can't imagine the corners.
Yeah. Like dice.
Talk about and, shooting craps.
Playing craps, yeah. That's probably where it comes from, maybe. Playing craps. Funny man, Rock. Let's see. You can fly from Perth to Melbourne faster than you can fly from one end of Western Australia to the other. You got to look. You got to know where Perth and Melbourne are.
Yeah.
To the map. Okay. Perth is on the southwestern tip of the country, and over Sydney, Brisbane, Canberra, Darwin. Okay. The question was, or the fact was, I'm going to scroll back down. You can fly from Perth to Melbourne. So that's the length of the southern coast of the country, faster than you can fly from one end of Western Australia to the other. Okay. Oh, I see. If you can go the full width of the country faster than you can go and it's sort of, it must be the winds. You hit those winds that are going to prevent you from going anywhere. Melbourne was briefly called Batmania. You can still visit Batman Park in Melbourne. All right, mm-hmm. Batman Park. Because I'm Batman. I'm Batman. All right. I think I get to go see either a cricket match or some sporting events while I'm there. AP's going to turn me on to it. Don't know. It seems that these guys do it right. When they get to have an event, sporting events, it's like the horse race. That Melbourne Stakes, the whole country takes off and parties. The whole country. Like you're not allowed to work.
Why would you?
Yeah. And drinking and getting crazy.
Tailgate.
I did ask AP how Americans are accepted in Australia. Yeah. Just, testing the waters, making sure what not to do, that kind of thing. He goes, no. Americans are treated very well. I said, what, even Californians? You're all good. So we have a great relationship with Australia. It's one of our biggest and longest allies. I hope that stays that way. And did you know that there are over 60 different types of kangaroos? I thought there was like four.
So look out for the big reds.
I'll tell you what, I've seen those big ones, the big reds and grays. They're muscle bound.
Yeah.
Why would you? They are just, they look like, have you ever seen a chimpanzee without any hair? The ripple muscle tone is just, the big, are the red ones the biggest ones?
I think they are.
I see. Well, they took a picture of one, and he's just ripped. He's ripped. Like, he just got done working out. He's looking at you like, come on, got something?
You got to watch out for their toenails. When they kick, I think the toenails are really sharp.
And that's the Canberra bird. That's that looks like a small ostrich, got red eyes, blue head, something like that. That's the one that's got an attitude. They're mean as heck, and they will freaking debowel. They will kick you in the belly, and that middle toe is a lot sharper than a kangaroo, I guess. It kills more people as far as birds go than any other on the planet, I believe. Kangaroo meat can be purchased from the supermarket and is known to be leaner and healthier alternative to beef or lamb.
Yeah.
Kangaroo meat.
I never tried it, but yeah, it is supposed to be good.
Yeah. I'm hoping to catch some fairs, festivals, anything they got going in 3 weeks when I'm down there. Maybe I'll overextend my visa. An Australian election TV debate was rescheduled so it didn't conflict with the finale of reality cooking show, Master Chef.
Oh, my God.
And an Australian election TV debate is rescheduled to not conflict with the finale of reality cooking show, Master Chef. I can dig that. I love that show when it came out. They had the Iron Chefs.
Well, Master Chef was one of the variations of it. I didn't know it took place in Australia, but I'm somewhat familiar with that particular one.
I think every country that participated had their own Master Chef of that country type of thing. Sounded like. Yeah, I enjoyed the Iron Chef. A lot of seafood cooked. A lot of fish and stuff.
The Iron Chef came over from Japan.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there was another one from England, too. It's interesting.
Oh. Yeah.
And then they had the one that Tom Colicchio was part of. There's a whole bunch of them. MasterChef kind of snuck its way in there. It was nestled right in the bosom of it. You know, they had some good cooks. I used to watch.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long that they've covered the Betty Crocker Bake Off, which is a national. I don't know if it's international, but I know it's national contest. That's mainly baking, I guess. A lot of interest in that. It's sort of cool. I watched it for a while, but you know, it gets old. It's like that. Who's the chef that the German chef? Hell's Kitchen.
No, he's not German. He's Scottish. That's Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay, that's right. Gordon Ramsay.
I believe he's Scottish. He's a Michelin, I think, 3-star chef. He's very, very accomplished, as much as he spits on people.
Oh yeah. He's just a dick.
Yeah, pretty much.
But hey, Romeo, have you ever tasted gator meat? Do you get gators down there, Mississippi? Oh, did he lose him? Okay. Let's see.
A dingo ate him.
An Australian man once tried to sell New Zealand on eBay with a starting price of 1 cent.
How much was shipping? How much was shipping?
I mean, I just bought the country. Yeah. Show me where my office is.
Got the receipt right here.
All right, everybody, I'm evicting you off my island. Get away.
Yeah, you got 24 hours.
Get out.
Yep.
Get out.
Yep. 3 days are quit. 3 days are quit. An eviction notice on yourself. Yeah. It is a known fact that wallabies like to break into opium crops, get high, and run around in circles to create a crop circle. It is a known fact. A little-known fact that wallabies like to break into opium crops, get high, and run around in circles to create crop circles. Gotta
That's
see
funny.
That. That is
it's like cocaine
bear.
Cocaine bears, huh?
So could the koala bears live on eucalyptus?
I think it's the only thing that does.
I think so.
Because it's amazing that they can survive. No. Sloth. I think a sloth can also. I think. Moomba, 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 Australia's largest free festival, held in Melbourne, means up your bum in many Aboriginal languages. Moomba, up your bum.
Moomba.
It's
I
a
thought
festival.
That was a damn.
They embrace the best things, man. Let's party. Up your bum. Wow. The Australian Alps, okay, actually receive more snow each year than Switzerland.
Wow.
Go figure. Go figure. I think somebody's pulling our leg here. Australian Alps. Wow. That's most of the northern part, it's mountainous in really rough terrain, inhospitable. That's where the Canberra, the lizards, and very few things go through there. Aboriginal culture is the oldest culture on Earth. And I can dig that. I thought it was funny when on the Crocodile Dundee, when he introduces his buddy, and he talks, he almost sounds English. He starts talking, and he's dressed in regular outback or aboriginal dress. You know, he looks like he probably have a hard time communicating with him. And then he starts speaking. I guess that, Western Australia is home to a number of pink lakes, such as Lake Hillian. Yeah, pink lakes. It's some algae, I think. It's an algae.
I know flamingo turn pink from eating shrimp.
Yeah.
They're born white, but they turn pink from eating the shrimp.
That's the life.
And the way their beaks works upside down to filter shrimp. Let's see. Australia has 19 World Heritage listed sites. 19 World Heritage listed sites. I don't quite know what that means. World Heritage sites.
Probably like the 8 wonders of the world. They've got 19
like
World Heritage.
Like the Grand Canyon or something? Yeah, probably. World Heritage.
The Grand Tetons or something like that? Is that Australia?
No, Tetons in Wyoming, man.
Well, what do I know?
The country holds the Guinness World Record for the most amount of Christmas lights on a house. Over 500,000.
Wow.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
500,000. That's a lot. You spend too much time in their hands. Australia's richest woman.
Look out, Stephen. You're going to be hanging lights.
Australia. What, you go crazy at Christmas, Stephen? You put a lot of decorations?
I used to. I don't do it anymore. Now I just have one of those things that shoots the green and red lights at your house, and you just stick it in the ground.
There you are. Me and my wife, we were known as the decorators, the barbecuers and the decorators. We barbecued all year round, and the decorators. My wife wanted to decorate the house for everything. I mean, I thought she'd make it up holidays for me to. And we did. We embraced it. We would turn our whole house into a haunted house at Halloween. We did that for 6 years. Went nuts. Spent thousands of dollars. Had fun doing it.
She got mad at you on our day if you didn't put wood.
What? What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you asked me something. I was an electrician for 15 years.
I was making a quip about Arbor Day. And you if you didn't wake up with wood.
Norwegian wood?
That's right. Good.
We would go crazy. As our kids grew, our boys grew, up until just like an eighth grade was the oldest. And that was basically, I think, about the last one we did. The youngest was... still elementary, but things had changed. Being an electrician, I went nuts with the circuitry and a master board. We had the whole house upstairs, then the outs. It was quite. I would start building it and drawing it out of what I was going to do in August. Build it in September. Have it for the week before and after Halloween, and then it would stay up till almost Easter. And she'd have to bug me because it was a cool place to hang out, man. I could go ahead and get a lot. She forced me to take it down. So we had an agreement. I had to be down by Valentine's Day. Okay. Yeah. Australia's richest woman, Gina Reinhardt, earns $1 million every 2 hours. Doing what?
A lot.
$1 million every 2 hours. That's not bad. Not a bad way.
Is she single?
One of my dad's first bosses were the Reinhardts. I wonder if related. Probably not. 99% of the
beer.
Huh? What's that?
Wasn't that a kind of beer? No, that's Rheingold. Sorry.
Rheingold.
What
do you call it, Rheingold? Yeah, and I guess Foster's isn't the most favorite beer. There's other Foster's.
What is their favorite? I like Foster's.
I do too. But give me the Foster's and put some shrimp on the Bobby. That's the shit you don't want to say, I guess. And Australia invented the world's first seatbelt law in 1970. Ralph Nader, eat your heart out.
That's awesome.
And they had their own. Yeah. 33% of Australians were born in another country.
Wow.
So they import people.
I was reading facts about the wars with Australia, because we always hear, you know, what the death toll for any one single war that America had added up to. So I on the air, I researched Australia's losses of their soldiers. I thought it was quite an amazing fact. In World War II, there was less than 5 million people in the whole country, and 500,000 of them volunteered, enlisted to fight Hitler and the Japanese. The other fact is, because of the tenaciousness of the Australian soldier in Papua and New Guinea fighting the Japanese, and our win with the British in Midway, the naval wins, was the only thing that prevented Australia from being invaded by Japan. It was that close. I had never heard that before. Once we took the carriers out, they had to thwart was the word they used, thwart the invasion of Australia. So,
do they not have an air force?
I don't think so. I don't believe so. Australia was more naval and more marine like. I mean, these guys were mountain fighters. Yeah. And always against the odds were always against them when they were fighting in some of the most terrible terrain you could want to have to fight in the islands just north of Australia in New Guinea. And only because of the technology of what they call jungleized their weapons, medical knowledge, and their uniforms, the equipment they used, that's what turned the tables on Japan, because weapons don't last long. Yeah, weapons don't last long back then, and any motorized vehicles. So, and disease. Disease took a lot of Japanese, took over 100,000 Japanese in those islands. So it was just being smart. And then our victory in Midway, I mean, they came close. Australia could have been overran by Japan. That would have sucked for them. Let's see. Over 300 different languages and dialects are spoken in Australia, including 45 indigenous languages.
Wow.
Well, that was just 300. Jesus.
I was just thinking.
Yeah.
If Japan would have overtaken Australia, would it be throw some sushi on the Barbie?
No, you don't cook sushi. I was going that way too, but I'm like, you don't cook it. They would have gotten rid of the Barbie altogether.
So you rapid kangaroo meat and seaweed. There you go.
Oh, my God. Yeah, a kangaroo roll.
No, think of the cars. Wouldn't be the Toyota and Kawasaki and Suzuki. There was a joke there, but I don't know what it is. Okay. In fact, 21% of Australians don't speak English at home.
Really?
Huh. Okay. That's your choice. WA is home to what is believed to be the oldest evidence of life on Earth, the stromatolites. I guess a K thing. WA, Western Australia. I'm sorry. Okay, Western Australia is home to what is believed to be the oldest evidence of life on Earth. I've seen those. Those are those caves. The fossils are 3D.
They, yeah.
That's weird. It's you got to see it. They sort of stand out from the erosion, the ground
yeah.
erodes before the bones, so they stick out of the wall like a 3D structure. Vegemite was created by leftover yeast used to create beer, so that's why it tastes so good. Vegemite.
Depending on who you ask.
Yeah, AP says it tastes like beer.
Well, it's been said it's an acquired taste, and I have to say I've never tried it, but I've only heard nasty things, so.
I just heard about the smile of the Vegemite sandwich. That's the only thing I remember.
Vegemite sandwich. Yeah. Minute works.
Yep.
Yeah.
From the land up under. I wonder if we have that. Let me check the studio. No, let me finish this. I think we're done with here. That was the last one. That was the last fact, anyway. So what's the first thing you would do if you had a chance to go to Australia? What's the first thing you would do or want to do?
Depending on where I am in Australia, you know, I'd love to see the Barrier Reef or the Sydney Opera House, which are not near each other, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, a couple of landmarks like that that are, like, you know, so world famous, it's,
They're both on the same side of the country, so I don't think they're too far apart, Great Barrier Reef and Sydney. I think it's a little north. But I've seen the itinerary that AP has. I will be going to the Opera House. Do you know those shells are sheets?
Yeah.
It's not a structure. I didn't know that. I thought it was a...
The acoustics are insane. And that's why I would want to go, because it's not just an architectural marvel. It's a physics, you know, it's that kind of a just, yeah, acoustical.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess at any given time it can face the other way. They can break out and be bigger, longer than other times, depending on what venue they're trying to, what celebration or what concert or whatever they're having that can change the shape of it. Yeah, it'd be interesting. It's supposed to be some kind of technical marvel. I will see that.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to the gold fields. That's all I talk about with AP. So we'll be going to the gold fields three different times during the 3 weeks I'll be there. And I'm excited about that. I just want to say that I've gone. Kind of the goal. That was something on my bucket list. A big nugget. That's right. California man finds the second biggest nugget ever found in Australia. I can already read it. I can hear it now.
Yeah, the problem is it's going to be a wombat nugget.
Square. Wombats are here.
One thing I've always wanted to do. And I don't care. I believe I could actually go over to like Martha's Vineyard and do this. And I plan on maybe doing it sometime. But I'd like to be in the cage and see a great white for real. I might urinate my wetsuit, but I want to see it.
You know, I got AP Taylor calling. AP, I'm on the air. Let me answer this. I hope it doesn't hang me up. I don't know if it will or not. Yeah, let me answer it. I'll be right back.
So there's a joke in there somewhere, Stephen, about no. I forget the first half of it, but that was the punchline. You think, you know, it's just whatever it was is expensive. I try swimming with the sharks. They cost an arm and a leg. But I'm pissed off now because it was I just heard it a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, you know, I forget the setup, the first half of it.
Oh,
it was like, you know, you think running with the bulls, or, you know, you think this is expensive, try swimming with the sharks. That costs an arm and a leg. I'm like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, you still there?
Yeah.
No, we hung up. We got bored.
AP, that was AP. He's going to be calling in a second here in a minute. So let me get to Stevie. There you go.
An authentic Australian.
Yeah.
662, welcome to the show. 662.
I'm back.
Yeah, okay, good. Wow, I was talking to you. Okay. Yeah, we got the AP Taylor going to be calling in a couple minutes here. He's got some good news for me. Don't know what it is quite yet. He told him to call it in. I don't know what it was when I was a kid.
Quashed.
Say what?
He said he's got good news. I said the warrant for his arrest has been squashed.
Well, we don't need him getting arrested now.
We were talking about cuisine. Romeo, do you eat gator meat down in where you're at?
I have before. Personally, I like it at
best.
Do you only eat the tail, or do you like the other parts of it? Because when I tried them both, I liked the tail. I didn't really like the other pieces.
I've only had the tail.
I've only ever been served it after wherever it was carved from. So to be able to tell you where it came from, I don't know, but I didn't dislike it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
There's different ways. And like anything else, would you eat the tail or the legs, or is there a back strap on that monster too, you know?
Well, I mean, I would...
No, that's all right. I was gonna say when I had it in New Orleans, they made it a point, you know, this was from the tail, and then they fried it one way, and then the piece that I don't know where it was, I probably a fillet somewhere. I can't imagine, you know, skinning a gator and you know, wasting whatever, but you know, they made it into like a stew, and it was a little, I don't know, I thought it was a little gamey, a little fishy. But the tail I did enjoy.
So it doesn't taste like chicken?
No.
No.
I'll say this, though. If you want to get more specific into maybe something you won't really do anywhere else as far as food goes in Mississippi.
Yeah.
I would say maybe fried frog legs.
Oh, those are
frog
good.
Frog legs. Huh?
Yes. You might get it at other places.
They don't have much meat on them, do they?
They don't.
Like a chicken wing.
But I can tell you this. I could hand you a piece of fried frog leg meat if seasoned the exact same as someone were to have seasoned and cooked white chicken meat. And
yep.
I'd not tell you which one came from which, and you also could not tell me which one came from which.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
I'd buy that.
Is it more expensive than chicken?
I can't imagine it being cheaper.
Not.
I will say this about food prep, that there does come a point where, you know, you're drowning out the flavor of what it is that you're making when you start, you know, seasoning and battering and things, and you're not tasting the meat itself, you know. People want to say, you got to marinate the deer or whatever. There's a point where now you're not eating deer meat anymore. You're eating the marinade, and you're not tasting the flavor of it. There's got to be a harmony and a symphony between the way that you cook it and what it is that you're making. Otherwise, you're not, you know.
It's like getting a bottle of Crown Royal and a bottle of Coke.
I knew we were going to go there. Crown and Coke.
Yeah, you're not gonna get that. Yeah, Crown and Coke.
I'm gonna tell you. Just recently, I've discovered what is now my favorite mixed drink.
What's that?
Sweet tea, Southern sweet tea, and rum.
Oh.
Like Captain Morgan, spice rum.
Yes, specifically Captain Morgan, because it's spice rum.
Okay, I grew up in Brooklyn, and stupid teenager shit. You know, we were bound to do it at one point. So we had the Lipton iced tea mix, and you know, we wanted to liquor it up a bit. So what looks like water? Hey, let's use vodka. So you can imagine what that tasted like. we made iced tea with vodka instead of water.
Oh my God!
Oh man!
when I first moved out of the village of Fair Oaks, where I grew up, the local tavern said you got to have a legacy drink, so they created a Hutch Pucker. And it has Captain Morgan, watermelon, and an apple liqueur. I think cranberry juice. I think that was it. There might have been one other thing that splashed in there, but it was addicting. It was sweet. Tastes like watermelon.
Yeah. I remember there's this place in, not Melbourne, Australia, but Melbourne, Florida. It was a bar called Conky Moon. And they had a signature drink called the Drunken Monkey, and it was a frozen drink, and it tasted like a frickin' chocolate banana smoothie. But when I watched them make it, it was like, damn, every little bit of alcohol in the bar went into that thing. Two of them.
A Long Island iced tea. Or the
Red Devil. That's what everyone goes like. It's all the white liquor.
Yeah, the clear liquor. Sure. Like it. Yeah, there are certain ones. It's amazing that a Long Island iced tea tastes as good as it does, because the tequila and every the mixing of it you wouldn't think would work. But I've had
they're actually
they're not bad.
And then, have you ever had a hurricane? That's a good drink.
What's in that one, hurricane?
It's a New Orleans special. I don't know off the top of my head, but
okay.
I know it's got rum in it.
Yeah, it probably has rum. I was gonna say.
It's a rum drink.
I'll tell you this. A lot of people think I'm weird for it, but I have made a mixed drink since I found out my love for sweet tea and rum, and. And the mixed drink actually is sweet tea and rum, but with a shot of pineapple juice and peach schnapps.
Mm.
Uh-huh. I could do that.
And,
yeah.
I don't know what to call it, except for the fact that it's got an incredible flavor.
Yeah, I think the spice rum. To me, besides maybe the tequila, has the best taste. I like that spice rum.
Hurricane drink has light rum, dark rum, passion fruit juice, orange juice, lime juice, simple syrup, grenadine, and garnished with an orange slice of a cherry.
Oh, Sounds like an island drink. Yeah.
It's not. It's nice. It's got a little kick to it.
Is that one that they put in a coconut shell or a weird glass, a hurricane?
It looks like a hula girl type glass. And then there's a joke about what was Sandy? The 14 ounce drink in a 12 ounce glass.
But why is your rum gone?
I'm sorry?
You said white rum?
But why is your rum gone?
Why is it gone?
I'm failing at doing what I normally can do when it comes to quality, but I was attempting to be like Captain Jack Sparrow and saying, why is the rum gone?
Oh, okay.
It was a terrible attempt. Normally, I bet.
It's all right. I tell stuff on the stories on it that's a lot funnier in my head, but when I say it, it ain't funny.
Yeah.
I
often hear cricket.
out here, between Tahoe and the Sacred Tomato, we have Purple Hooters, Kamikazes, and those are the two that usually you buy by the...
Kamikazes, you
tell me. Yeah, you buy the rounds. You buy a round, it's a Purple Hooter or a Kamikaze. And of course, you're mixing it because that's usually not what you're drinking, sitting there drinking. So, you know, you're drinking beer. Nothing like a Purple Hooter. Everything starts foaming up. You know, it's like,
I never heard the Purple Hooter before, but Kamikazes I've definitely had.
Kamikazes like lime juice, lemon juice. I think it's lime juice.
Vodka triple second lime.
There you go. There's vodka. Yeah.
I'm assuming that we got totally different definitions for Hooters.
Yeah, I don't know why they thought that.
Those are owls, right? Hooters are owls, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's exactly what they are.
You're right, two different definitions.
Yeah.
Two different
definitions, and they it does involve twins.
Yeah, if you opened up like the bartender's guide, that there's a lot of fun drinks in there. Slow, comfortable, screw against the wall. The old joke. What's the best drink in the world?
Blow job.
It's a woo-woo because no matter how drunk you get, you could still order one.
I had something I got to say. I just spaced out. Okay, all right. Let's see. I know what I was going to say. Everybody has that one time when you were young that you got sick on something you drank. You drank too much, and, boy, you can't take the smell of it. What booze was it?
Beach Schnapps.
Southern Comfort.
Beach Schnapps, okay. That makes sense. Rock, what was yours?
SoCo, Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort. Janis Joplin. Yeah, there you go. And Romeo, what was the first one you couldn't, back in your craw?
SoCo Loco, Southern Comfort, 100 proof.
Yeah, okay. Mine was bourbon. I ruined myself. It prevented me from enjoying as much blended whiskey as I could. I do like the blends. I probably could tell. Yeah, I can tell the difference between a whiskey and a bourbon. Yeah, bourbon.
They have one now that I've fallen in love with. It's a Red Stag. Black cherry bourbon.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
It's really, it's, oh my God, it's great.
Yeah, I, yeah, the Glenlivet, the Scotch, Hennessy is good. And I like that. Yeah, tequila was mine. I think I ruined myself. You know, I used to carry a picture in my wallet that I drew in case me and Jose went out one night. I ended up in a tattoo parlor. I wanted this. I could show him a picture. I figured that was going to happen, but it didn't. But I actually carried an actual picture that I drew for that. Glad I could see Chuck going to get a tattoo.
I guess the big question is, where on your body would you want that tattoo?
Let me tell you a joke. Two friends, one guy's from Jamaica, the other guy's from the United States, the white guy. They're friends. They get drunk. They're going to go get a tattoo. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay, let's go get a tattoo. He goes. The white guy goes, you know what, I'm going to get one on my thing. Good idea. Make a guy goes, good idea, I'm going to get one too on my thing. So they go to the tattoo parlor. When they're done, they come out and he goes, you get your tattoo? He goes, yep. He goes, look at it. It says USA. He goes, damn. He goes, what does yours say? He goes, welcome to Jamaica, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day. I heard that the both of them, the guy went to the urinal. And,
word.
You know.
Did I say that wrong? It's what you're right.
No. Well, I heard it differently. It's not wrong. I mean, the punchlines are malleable, you know? It's the same point. There's a lot of letters, man. There's a lot of letters.
Yeah. Okay, I told this joke to a nurse. I don't know. I know. Okay, a chicken and an egg laying in bed. Chicken sits up, lights a cigarette, and goes, I guess that answers that question.
I saw that as a meme, yeah.
Think about it. I told that to a nurse that was working graveyard, a friend of mine I graduated with. I dated her in high school. We were talking, and I told her that. I didn't tell her right. She goes, what is that? So I said, think about it. And she had the whole nursing staff. She told the whole nursing staff. And then when they finally got it, they laughed for days.
Another variation of the same joke is two drunks walk into a diner. One orders chicken salad and one orders egg salad and says, let's see which one comes first.
Okay. Not bad. Well, come on, AP, call in, buddy. Give him a couple minutes.
Hit that button. Maybe that'll bring him here.
Let me refresh. Maybe he's sitting there. I don't know about it.
No, that would be horrible.
He hasn't said anything on the board, though. I think he would have.
That's what he'd be. Yeah. He said he had good news for me, and it's about my accommodations. So I'm dying to hear what happened.
You're going to be staying in the cleavage.
He said something about Canberra. He was going to.
Would that make you his bosom buddy?
Prison buddy?
No, it wouldn't.
I was going to be staying in a B&B. That there's an apartment that AP knew I could get a good rates or something. He was going to put me up there. Then that fell through. They apparently sold it, and then some had new owners. So they said, "Well, I got to, you know, you're going to have to, because his place, he just sold his house, and he just because I'm rarely home. It's just a small place, so he was trying to get it to where he could accommodate. He even went out and bought a bed for me." And this might change. I don't know what, but accommodations. I hope you call in. Come on, AP.
He's sleeping out under the stars with the huntsman spiders.
There you go. don't feed the dingoes. I remember I wrote one. I wrote a poem. Don't feed
you
the
wrote
dingoes.
A poem, really?
I did one, yeah. Did one.
Did you do it upside down?
I'd do it all around. Steven, you want to? What's going on in your group this coming weekend or coming week? You want to? Yeah, this we got about 15 minutes.
Let's see. As I said before, the Wednesday show. Lately, the time is like a to-be-announced type thing because there's been so much stuff going on in our lives that it's kind of filling up with the Wednesday show a bit. But as of right now, it's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It's our visit with our Artist of the Year, Lisa Esato. Kay found a lot more paintings from her to check out, to write to. Check them out.
Over.
And then Sky has her show on Thursday, which is... I believe because it's May, she's going to, May, it's actually the 4th too. So May the 4th be with you. She's going to be doing Star Wars all month, and it will be the Bad Batch season 2. So you know, character rights, quote rights, scene rights, movie rights, come and geek out with guys, 8 p.m. on Thursday. That's what we got.
All right. Cool. Sky. She gives homework. Oh, there he is. Hold on. AP, is that you?
It is me, Hatter. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Just down to the last 15 minutes of the show. Called just in time.
There you go.
You said you had some news. You said you had some news for me.
Yeah. Well, you know how you're going to be down here for sort of 3 weeks, Hatter? And we're doing some tours, and the last 2-3 days we'll be in Sydney. And so we basically had 16, 18 days in what is a pretty small apartment that I'm in. It's like a studio apartment, New York-style studio, all-in-one apartment. And so you've got a bed and all that sort of stuff, but it's pretty small. So my aunt actually rang me up an hour or so ago and me there their two-bedroom apartment, and to give you an idea how big that is, their outdoor balcony is the same size as my whole place.
Wow. And that's in Melbourne?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's up on a hill facing Melbourne, so it's about 8 miles away from where I live, but it's right next to the major shopping centre. That's about 500 metres walk up the hill, and huge shopping centre and really, really cool set of stuff. But, they've got bedrooms, en suites, kitchens, large screen TVs. You know, this is a multi-million dollar apartment.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just went over like 25 weird, funny facts of Australia. A lot of them were quite enlightening.
There you go.
So
for the middle 10 days that you're here, Hatter, we'll be in this really neat apartment in Box Hill.
Oh, cool.
Which is cool. Heaps of space. Proper bed.
Get to move.
All that stuff.
Okay. Hold on, gentlemen. Somebody's pounding on my door. Hey, Donald, what's up? That's yours, yeah. Okay. Oh, good new neighbor.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers.
Oh, well, that sounds good. The middle 10 days then, huh?
Cool. The middle 10 days, yep. And as I said, the last 2-3 days we'll be in Sydney anyway, so that doesn't make, so we'll be away from here for the last little bit. We'll try and do, I think we'll probably do the first show, if we can, if you know how the show that is Sunday afternoon for me, Saturday night for you. And so I think we'll have two of them when you're here. We'll try and do the first one from the Goldfields, and we'll try and do the second one from Sydney.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I was telling him I get to see Sydney, take me around.
You do. You do, yes. So I think everybody who comes to Australia should see Sydney. Sydney's just, you know, one of these world cities. It's just a beautiful place. It is just
yeah.
Naturally just a beautiful place. Yeah.
I cannot wait. Cannot wait. Your kid on Christmas.
Not too far away, Adder. I mean, it's only days. You know, we're counting down now. It's still days and not hours, but it's days.
Yeah, and I'll lose a whole day going down.
You do. Yeah, Monday's gone. You lose Monday on the dateline. Yeah. So, yeah. So you get on the plane. Yeah. It'll be Sunday, and you'll get out of the plane, and it'll be Tuesday lunchtime here.
May 1st. There's no May 1st for me. Wow.
No, May is gone. Yes. Yes.
May 2nd was my dad's birthday, May 2nd. So.
That's pretty good timing, I think.
Yeah, he'll be watching over me. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, that's excellent. Pretty good timing. There you go. So the biggest thing I was worried about was us bumping into each other here, but I think that's going to be resolved.
Yeah.
Tata, so.
Oh, yeah. 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 I don't see any problems with it. It's going to be great.
I think it's good. No, it's
going to
be good. So,
and it'll be less than we're on the final countdown here. I got we got everything together. I got everything I need squared away.
Yeah.
Got my passport.
Yeah.
Passport. Everything I need. Cool.
I've just got to tidy this place up. It's all a bit of a just got
stuff everywhere. Yeah, don't worry about it too much. I remember my wife one time saying, get up on my day off. My days off back when I was working for the county were precious. She said, get up. You got to help me clean the house. I go, why? She says, the cleaning lady's coming over. She's interviewing a lady to clean the house. But I got to clean the house.
Yeah,
well, I'm not doing that.
Of course I did. I don't know. There's stuff sitting around every surface. It's what happens when you get a small place. You know, everything becomes something to drive something on. And so I've just got to get all
minimalist.
That sort.
You become a minimalist.
Yeah. And I've got a whole bloody stack of bloody paints and stuff all over the bench, so I've got to fix that up and, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to bring my brushes. So.
Yeah, you should do.
We'll be doing a show from the Goldfields. That'll be great.
I think the show from the Goldfields has got a real good ring to it, Hatter. We're out in the middle of nowhere. Hopefully we get a signal, and we do the show there. I think it's kind of funky. Let me do the second one from Sydney Harbour.
There you go.
Yeah.
Make it a
plan. Yeah, that's the plan.
All right, we'll have to act like we know what we're doing. Yeah.
But,
In California, the harbors have seals. What do you guys have in Australia in the harbors?
Sharks.
Yeah, the seals are a problem.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we got sharks. You know, don't worry about seals are friendly and stuff.
You know, there's nothing cute. Yeah, well, there's nothing cute or friendly about a leopard seal. They are what they are? Leopards. Yeah, they are the tigers of the oceans.
Great white, but anyway, that's okay. No, we tend to have bull sharks in the harbour, right? Bull sharks, quite nasty.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I could see myself shore fishing somewhere. I was going to throw a line in somehow, stand there and goodbye. My dad was a fisherman. We were fishermen,
all my life. You said,
yeah,
yes.
But, It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
Yeah.
I don't think you've got a Man Cove show on when you're there, so you don't have to dial in for that. But we'll work our way through it, Hatter.
Yeah. We will. It'll be the greatest adventure of my life. But we'll count down to the last couple of minutes here.
Yep.
Rakapura, thanks for calling in. Romeo, thank you, sir, for calling in and calling back. Appreciate that. Steven, it's always a pleasure. AP from Down Under, I will be seeing you in 48 hours or a little more than that.
A little more than that. It'll be, well, in 72 hours anyway.
Yeah.
Not that long.
Yep. We're on the countdown. And this all started, what, two and a half years ago? Is it more than that?
Then COVID came in and, you know, we 2 years, the hell knew when it was going to happen. But anyway, it's happening now. So we always said it would. It is.
Hey, the forces that were set in motion to try to prevent me from getting down under were pretty strong. I mean, look what they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
but you get better. That's the most important thing.
Say goodnight to Deborah Lee's couch.
Deborah Lee's couch.
In fact, I'm in the studio. Let's see. I will. Do we, hey, AP, have we played Minute Work? Land of Down
probably.
Under? Land Down Under?
Yeah, probably. I think Down Under's in the studio,
Hannah.
Yeah.
Before you do that, hit that button I brought for you real quick one more time.
Oh. Okay. Oh shoot! Okay, the whole thing just refreshed. Hold on. Okay. There it is. And how come it's not at the top? Hold on. Oh, I see. Well, I got something in the queue. Let me get it out.
It's Down Under.
Well, I put Min in there. Come on. Use my keyboard. What's going on? It won't let me. Well, let me get out of it. Hold on.
Oh, really?
Hold on. Well, I did the search thing. I'm on my phone.
Yes.
Mine does that, too.
I've never made any secret of the fact. Basically, I'm on my way to Australia.
There you go.
There you go. We got it.
Well, basically, I'm on my way to
Australia. I've never made any secret of the fact that basically I'm on my way to Australia.
There you go.
That movie was just that.
Yeah. And you are.
You're on your way.
Yeah. So it's you'll turn around a couple of sleeps at her and you'll be on the plane and then you won't know where the hell you are for a couple of days. But that's okay. We'll sort through that.
Yeah. And my screen just froze, so we'll go out. We'll have a song to go out with.
Oh, I can try a hatter if you give me two ticks.
Yes, if you can.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Buying bread from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. Yeah.
All right, didn't it work? Yeah, my new theme song. Down Under. Thank you guys for calling in, spending the evening. Steve, it's always a pleasure, man.
Have fun, Hedda.
Yeah. See you later. AP, I'll be seeing you shortly. Yeah.
You
all
will.
Good, Dad.
Stop now.
Yeah.
Talk soon.
Cool. That's good news, AP. Thank you. I did something right somewhere, sometime. See you guys. Better run. I'm trying to get to the, there we go. I don't know when Deborah could be back. So I am going to, I'm going to scroll here so I see my name. Oh, Roof! Roof! Hi, Deb. Come on. Can I let you in? Well, let me let you in. I tried to unmute you. Hold on.
Here I am.
Oh, there you go. Hi, Deb.
Hi. Good timing. I got back. I clicked in and played the clip for you and then Land Down Under. But great
yeah.
news from AP, huh?
Yeah, that is. That is. That'll be the middle week, basically. A little more than middle week
yeah.
while I'm down there.
Be hanging out on the roof of a fancy apartment with checking out
yeah.
the view.
There you go. Then after that we go to Yeah. Then after that we go to Sydney. So that'll be great.
Yep.
Yeah. Cultural change. I'll be talking like an Australian.
I'm
before
looking
I get back.
Forward to it, Hedda.
All right.
All right.
So,
love and respect.
Listen to the show later. We'll do some stuff.
Cool.
I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Love and respect.
Bye-bye.